Welcome to this online interview by Prodi Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Emre Eldener. He's the CEO of Kita Logistics in Istanbul. First and foremost, Emre, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
You are most welcome. Always happy to see you here. I always, have this knack of asking our interviewees on Project Cargo Weekly a little bit about their background. I mean, how did they get into shipping in the first place? Why are they not in a bank or in a accountancy company? So the same for you, Emre. How did you get into shipping? Why are you not sitting in the local bank in Istanbul?
I ask the same question to myself once in a while.
Okay.
I am, in fact, a mechanical engineer. And my partner has a degree in logistics from a German university. Mm-hmm. He kind of tricked me into this field. I had worked as an engineer for some time before I got involved in the project logistics. That was about 27 years ago. When he invited me to open the Istanbul branch, when Kital had been founded like 2 years before in Izmir, I told him, I don't know anything about shipping. I don't know what you're talking about. And what he had told me at that time was, it's not nuclear physics. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And it's not nuclear.
Okay.
We all know that. And most of the time, the client is telling us what they want. If we listen carefully and try to exceed the expectations, then the companies flourish. It's all the same in the service industry. And yeah. Once I got involved in this business, as you know, it's a left lane kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of traveling. We deal with all kinds of different types of shipments. And it's a fun life. That's how I see it.
So in other words, you are happy when you are looking back that you chose this career ultimately.
I think I am. Yeah, I think I am. I'm happy.
That's good to hear. Now, turning to the name Kita, I don't speak Turkish or understand much about Turkish language, but does K-I-T-A or Kita, does it have a meaning in Turkish?
Kita means continent in Turkish.
I see.
Okay. In fact, it's not Kita, it's Kita. Kita.
Kita.
But, it means continent. And while it has different meanings in different languages, never ask me what it means in Serbian. Because, it's pretty embarrassing.
Okay, I understand.
We always have problems when our trucks are passing through Serbia. All the customs officers are laughing at us when they see Kita, in large letters on the trucks.
Okay.
But don't worry.
Okay, let's not get into that. That'll be for another.
If people are really curious, they can look it up on Google Translate or something like that. They will know what I'm talking about.
Clear. Tell me a little bit about the Kita Group as it is now. You're headquartered in Istanbul. Where else do you have your own offices?
We have 12 offices altogether.
Yeah.
In four countries. We are traditionally expanding towards the CIS republics because most of these republics speak a type of Turkic language. So we have not only a historical tie, but also a linguistic tie in between. So we have opened our first branch in Kazakhstan.
Okay.
That was about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been very successful. Interestingly, only ladies are working in our Almaty office, and they do a fantastic job.
Right.
So, I call them the Amazons, and they create a great business for us.
Okay.
And then we have opened our Uzbekistan office in Tashkent.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe is going to be even more important for us than even Kazakhstan because of the population, mm-hmm. Because of the hinterland, because of the production capacity of Uzbekistan.
Okay.
So I'm seeing quite a lot of activity in Uzbekistan right now. We are doing a lot of transshipments via Turkey, going through the Volga-Don canals into the Caspian, and then deliveries to via Turkmenistan to Uzbekistan. We do a lot of trucking going in there, and we move cargo to Aktau, and from there, all the heavy lifts are moving into Uzbekistan. So there's a lot of activity going on. We We've even done trucking, okay. 55 tons each on a low bed trailer, all the way from China to Uzbekistan, wow. all by road. So very interesting place to be. Nice population, over 30 million people compared to 10 in Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. So we see major potential there.
I see. And the other countries where you are?
We are also in Germany.
Okay.
And in Germany, we have a small warehouse. And our German office is mainly geared towards our groupage business, our right. land transport groupage business. We have our own truck fleet. Okay. And we move quite a lot of cargo by road between Turkey and Germany. And our office there is handling solely our own cargo.
Okay.
This operation, we have 6 or 7 people in Germany. They're handling our own groupage business, distribution, pickups, loading, consolidating the trailers. But when it comes to air and sea freight and project cargo, we work with agents.
Okay.
The job we have over there is specifically geared towards optimizing our truck fleet operations.
Got it. Yes. It's clear. So in that way, it seems to be a smart move right now to have interests in CIS. I mean, I hear every other forwarder complaining about getting ships space is at a premium. If they can get space at all, it on almost every trade lane. But at least you have options. You can do trucking. You can do a bit of land transport that might not be depending on shipping space, it seems, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Right now, for example, we're doing quite a lot of transit operations going into the CIS via Poti port in Georgia.
Yeah.
Mainly right. agricultural machinery. Almost all of them are out of gauge, but we right. can transit them on at Poti port, load them on rail cars, and deliver them anywhere within the CIS.
Okay. Fantastic.
So that's an interesting line of business for us, because most of the cargo is coming from India, from Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, it works out that even from Southeast Asia, the best way of transporting cargo into Uzbekistan is via Poti, because nobody wants to use Bandar Abbas. Nobody no. wants to take the cargo via Iran.
No.
And
no.
we cannot handle Iran business as a company. We have no. stopped doing Iran several years ago.
Yes. No. It's a known fact for many. And you feel that transshipment via Poti is running smooth?
It's running really smoothly. No problem.
Okay. Good to hear. And another question here I have to ask, since you are closing in to the old Soviet Union, I would say, with the CIS, do you feel any repercussions from doing business in CIS? Can you feel any apprehension from overseas clients, or that they are a little bit worried now business is getting slower, or is it as usual for you?
Are you talking about after the war? Ukraine-Russia
yes,
war?
Yes, that's what I mean, after Russia invaded.
Well, what we do right now is we are providing service, a road service
okay.
to Russia. So we as Turkey, the border is open, so we're doing quite a lot of movements from Turkey to Russia.
Okay.
But we're also doing quite a lot of movements going into Ukraine. So we're working with both countries at the same time. Okay. We have a United Nations contract for delivering relief cargo going okay. into the Ukraine. So we load a lot of trucks.
Okay.
And that is working. And in parallel, we also ship cargo to Russia. And for example, we move quite a lot of shipments by air into Russia for pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
This type of cargo is not sanctioned. Any type of medicine is not sanctioned. So we move quite a lot of cargo going into Russia by air. By the way, we are also a major air freight forwarder. Okay. We are number 7 on the IATA listing. So we handle about 12,000 air freight shipments a year,
okay.
only in Turkey.
Okay.
So this enables us to create space, make the priority and the pricing, and optimize it. For any destination,
okay,
from Turkey or to Turkey.
Okay, yeah. Now, but there's no doubt that Turkey has a strategic location in the world, and it's just when I look at it over the history here, the last 10, 15 years, perhaps a little bit more, just look at how Turkish Airlines has expanded. I mean, the Turkish influence is growing in construction and many other things. around Africa, CIS, and even Russia and Mongolia, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Turkish Airlines has become a major brand name, growing rapidly.
Yeah.
And we are, as I've mentioned, we are one of the top 10 Turkish cargo supporters in the country. So we have a special position in the market from a space and pricing point of view.
From politics, of course, sometimes influence on shipping, and I know that Turkey has been quite active in, for example, in North Africa with the construction in Libya and so on. How do you see the African market for Kita? Is it a market that you focus on?
It is absolutely. It's definitely a market that we focus on. We do quite a lot of work in Morocco. We do a lot of work in Algeria. We're not doing a lot in Libya, honestly, because of sometimes there are collection problems because you cannot collect your funds. That's an issue. The relationships between Egypt and Turkey are getting better. It was not so good. So we're hoping that, this is going to create additional volumes. There's quite a lot of movement between Turkey and Sudan. Since you've asked about the political situation, Saudi Arabia and Turkey had not so good relationships after this journalist had been killed here at the consulate, and we had stopped, in fact, delivering cargo to Jeddah or any other or Dammam or any other Saudi port for a while because every single Turkish cargo got stuck for a very long time.
Mm.
Now the relationships after the visits by the presidents or the kings of the countries, now the relationships are getting back to normal. So we're gonna be able to move more into Saudi Arabia, which is a major market, as you can imagine, for us as export commodities.
Of course. No, it's everything is intertwined. We can't rule the one thing or the other out. May I also ask you, I hope we are seeing the last of this stupid virus, but how is the corona situation actually in Turkey right now?
There are incidents. There are still positive cases.
Yeah.
They seem to have increased a little bit in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But we have no mandates for wearing masks anymore.
Okay.
Even inside the aircraft or the restaurants or even in the elevators. Some people pay attention to it. And I see about maybe 20 or 30% of people in closed areas that they wear masks. People have to, get vaccinated. And most of the population have been vaccinated. So as far as I'm concerned, hopefully, this is going to be out of our lives soon.
Yes. It seems the only holdout is Hong Kong and China at the moment, where they are really strict to their population. How do you see the year? I mean, we still have about less than 6 months to go until end of the year. How do you see the second half of this year? And if you look into your crystal ball for Kita Logistics,
it has been a COVID. I don't know if it's COVID, but the situation or the business environment, let's say, helped us in terms of growth in 2020, 2021, and also in 2022. I mean, we are basically matching our yearly budgets by the end of July.
Wow.
So it is fantastic. Seriously, it's fantastic. So I can go on vacation.
Wow.
So it's good. I'm also seeing the freight rates going down, and I'm hoping that freight rates will go down even further, because some people think that and forwarders would all understand what I say is a lot of people think, oh, the freight rates are very high, so you guys are in good shape. No, because for when the freight rates are high, that means that it's additional financing for us. Because most of the time we are financing clients. We're always giving them credits.
Yeah.
If the rates are high, then we need to create more operational capital. And that's not easy.
Yeah. Now, it's. I think the forwarder's role has been a bit underestimated by many shippers recently. I mean, we know now that some of the major ship owners, they want to be the one-stop shop, as you know, and I'm sure they're doing it in Turkey as well. If they can be without the forwarder, they will try. And my hope is, as a educated forwarder myself, is that some of these shippers who think they can have the one-stop shop and everything in one place only, they might burn their fingers and they might come back to see what the forwarders actually do for them, how much the forwarder does for free. I mean, you can never call a lawyer without a fee right away, but you can call a forwarder He'll check the market for you, and he will only earn something if he books it.
So, exactly.
So is that the same situation you see in Turkey, that some ship owners want to kind of get rid of you?
Sometimes we feel like ship owners would like to go direct to the client, and they do. Mm. And they provide the rates.
Yeah.
But when it comes to service, that's where they get stuck, because very few people, too many clients, too many shipments, and then the lack of attention to the client, which is much appreciated by the on the client side. As a result, they try, and they most of the time they come back to us.
I hear the same song everywhere. Let's hope that there's a healthy mix. And of course, some forwarders are tricky, some ship owners are tricky. But generally speaking, the forwarder's job is to know the market, not just to know one carrier. I mean, that is ultimately our best defense, isn't it? Good service and knowing the market.
Yeah. And also, honestly, and you were talking about crystal ball. Mm-hmm. I was, for five and a half years, I was the president of the Forwarders Association. And right now, I'm the vice president of the Forwarders Association as the vice president for another 2 years. And I'm also the vice president of FIATA. So,
nice.
Every single day, people are asking me whether I, you know, what my crystal ball tells them, because they think I know everything.
Yeah.
So this means, in order not to be embarrassed, I'm trying to follow the market as closely as possible.
Yes, yes.
You know, and what I have noticed, in fact, is that a 40-foot container from Shanghai to Istanbul, for example, used to be over $10,000.
Yeah.
It went down, it went below $10,000 3 weeks ago for the first time.
Nice.
As of yesterday, it went down below $9,000. I've seen $8,750, which is great. And some people think that by the end of 2023, this $12,000 freight rates for a 40-foot container from Shanghai to Istanbul is going to go down to almost $4,000, which I believe where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
It sounds reasonable. And I guess we also have to admit that the rates we saw pre-COVID were also ridiculous. I mean, you almost got the container for free as long as you paid the THC on some trade lane. So, no, it's fair enough that the ship owners earn their money back now. And but now it's time to have another correction the other way, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Totally.
Emre, I must say, this has been very, very interesting. And of course, I have seen your name in the media from time to time, and thus very happy that Project Cargo Weekly has this chance to speak to you. You seem proactive, and with a good location in Turkey, I see no reason why you won't progress further. So formally, I would like to say many, many thanks for joining this interview.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
Most welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview here in the hot summer months in Europe with Mr. Emre Eldener. He is the CEO of Kita Logistics, headquartered in Istanbul in Turkey. Stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.